You're listening to a podcast from 702.
As you know, at this time, we look at the major political stories you need to keep an eye on. I mean, for the second time in less than a year, Karima Brown has come under attack by people supporting the economic freedom fighters. And it begs the question, why is a party which threatens journalists being allowed to contest elections? Is the EFF fit to be a political party? Those are the questions she wants answered after she received a barrage of messages both on Twitter and her private cell phone number. And it comes after she mistakenly posted instructions to a reporter about what to observe and to ask at a scheduled EFF event. Party leader Julius Malema published Brown's number to his 2 million followers, and despite the threats, the party maintains he had a right to do so because they believe she's an ANC operative. And it's not the first time that she and other journalists, particularly female media practitioners, have been targeted. And it raises the question about the perceived impunity with which parties, or at least people supporting these parties, can do these things and not face any consequences. I want your thoughts on this on 011-883-0702. We're meant to be talking to Karima Brown. She is meant to be talking to us right now. So we seem to have our lines crossed there. And I do want your thoughts on it, though. I mean, if you've heard at this hour, I'm afraid I cannot repeat some of the threats that have been made against her. But there are threats of rape. There have been racial pejoratives made against her. And one of the things I want to talk about is that a lot of the pushback on Twitter is suggesting that how do you know these are EFF members? How do you? The party hasn't condemned this. The party has not condemned this. Julius Malema has refused to take off the number of Karima Brown from his timeline. And so that would suggest when people make these threats, when people make these statements purportedly in support of the party and its leader, they have the party's consent. They have the party's consent. So for me, that's a disingenuous argument. I'll take your thoughts on this, your responses to it. How do you deal with it? And if you look at Section 8C of the IEC's Electoral Code, it enjoins political parties to, and I'm quoting directly from it now, to take reasonable steps to ensure that journalists are not subjected to harassment, intimidation, hazard threat, or physical assault by any of their representatives or supporters. By failing to condemn this, it is, in my view, tacit support. It is an agreement. What are your thoughts? 011-883-0702. We are trying to get hold of Karima Brown. She is, of course, the host of the Karima Brown Show. So that goes on until late into the evening. Oh, we do have her on the line. There we go. I'm pleased to say Karima Brown joins us now. I've set the context, Karima, of what has been happening. Firstly, let's just do a media 101, because in your various roles, whether here at 702 or at ENCA, surely there's nothing untoward about instructing a reporter or journalist about what to observe and ask at a public meeting hosted by a political party.
No, I don't think there's anything untoward. You've hit the nail on the head, Bongani, but I guess it's because we are journalists and we do this every day. So most newsrooms work on a basis of teams or individuals looking at what's happening in the country and stories that they could be potentially interested in, and they talk about it and they speak to their producers about it. And you would say, you know, check out for me if this person is going to speak about the following issues. I saw an interesting article last week where they made reference of this and that. And so you essentially provide a set of lenses through which your producers and your reporters can look at a news angle. And that's precisely, you know, what I did, because part of what I do at ENCA, and at least the problem with the EFF, they presume to know what my jobs are. They don't actually know what I do. But they spoke very definitively yesterday when they said they know for a fact that I don't assign reporters and that I don't tell people what to do. So they don't know anything. So part of what I do at ENCA, apart from the fix, is also work with some of the political reporters together with the political editor, William Vorkel, as well as work on the Jane Dutton Show. And it was actually for the Jane Dutton Show that I had looked at this interesting meeting that the EFF was going to have with the elderly, with a set of elders. And my notes were very specific. It was check out who the elders are, how they were constituted, and more importantly, are they only males, are they women? And then my last words were watching brief. Now, in our language, of course, watching brief is keep watching the story because it's developing. And that was essentially what the notes were about.
Here's the thing. You're not the only journalist who's been attacked in this way. I mean, the barrage of abusive messages have not only been on Twitter, but your private number, precisely, of course, because Malema published your number and refuses to remove it. You're not the only journalist, and it's not the first time.
No, not at all. In fact, the EFF did precisely the same with Paulie van Beek, the excellent investigative reporter from Scorpio at Daily Maverick. They did the same with Cyril Hafferty. They did the same with Ranjini Moonsami. They did the same with a range of reporters. But as you can see, I'm rattling off a name of female reporters here. And that is what has been so interesting, is they've taken particular exception to female reporters that have effectively, you know, investigated other issues that they're involved with or covered the parties in a particular way. So there's a very distinct toxic masculinity and misogyny that comes through the way in which they intimidate women. They did the same with Tandeka Kubule, the economics editor. Remember, they accused
at the SABC. They call everyone who disagrees with them Stratcom. Yeah, listen, the electoral code of the IEC is very clear about parties taking reasonable steps to ensure that journalists are not harassed, intimidated, but also not just by their representatives. It also says or supporters. So is it disingenuous for some of the defense to say, well, how do you even know these people are EFF members?
Yeah, no, look, it's the electoral law is very clear. And more importantly, it is in effect because the president declared the date of the election and the code of conduct that guides parties' political behavior kicked in on a Tuesday. And Mr. Malema, of course, did this all on Wednesday. So he is definitely in violation of that, which is why I went to go and lay charges last night at the police station. And I intend, of course, now to take these charges to the IEC.
And do you want them deregistered?
I want basically South Africans to think about whether a party that is committed to choking journalists, physically assaulting them, verbally assaulting them, cyberbullying them, should be on a ballot in a constitutional democracy, because you can't pick and choose from the constitution. The EFF has been so good at using our legal institutions to fight their political battles. But when it comes to a basic thing such as upholding the media's right to do its work without fear or favor, they, of course, simply forget the constitution, but they've got added rules. They've now got an electoral code of conduct, which they are party to, and because they take that oath, because the provision that you refer to is actually a provision that refers to all parties and candidates who want to stand in the election. The rules are very, very clear, and the EFF ought to know this.
They do. I mean, I would contend, Karima, they do. And they're simply, in this case, just looking the other way because that's what suits their agenda at the moment. We'll leave it there for this morning's Political Desk with the host of the Karima Brown Show. And I'm going to say this very clearly. There are real consequences to these things. Listen, you need one crazy supporter to act on these threats. We know Ranjeni Mhlontsami was followed at a Pick n Pay. And I'm going to say it clearly. If anything happens to Karima Brown, Julius Malema will have blood on his hands.